Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Very good morning to you, Adam Gilchrist in London.
Morning, John. How's it going?
Lucky to get a point yesterday against Chelsea, but delighted to have that point. That's how it's going. How is it going with you?
Precious point it was. Although I watched the whole match screaming at the referee to do something about the Chelsea players who refused to back off 10 metres from any free kick throughout the entire game. They just stood there 3 metres away. I thought, that's not allowed. What are you doing? I thought we could have been playing two men by the end. But anyway, wishful thinking.
Let's go on to rather more serious and important matters. Mm-hmm. The Omicron variant triggering measures and some countries now not only banning the sort of suspicious six or the eight. Japan and Israel, at least two countries that are shutting their borders now to all foreigners.
Yes, all international travellers, effectively, for 2 weeks, I think, is the kind of target. Israel certainly has gone for the 2 week barrier. Switzerland has announced new quarantine rules. Australia is in the process of banning migrant worker arrivals. That sounds suspiciously political rather than practical to me. We know that any number of government ministers and scientists and experts are saying, look, calm down, it's all right, this variant is not bubonic plague. And indeed, the South African doctor who first discovered this, Angelique Kutsia, is that her? I think that's her. Has appeared here on our media saying, look, only mild symptoms spotted with this variant so far. So why are we all in a tizzy? Why is the world in a tizzy about a variant about which little is known, apart from the fact that it doesn't seem to have killed anyone, doesn't seem to have absolutely knocked a population over or anything? And, for instance, here, suddenly mask wearing is back. Although, I have to say, being very British about it, they've decided to introduce this tomorrow. Why wait 2 days between the announcement and the actual masks? That they will come in for us tomorrow, along with various PCR testing things again. But also, interestingly, how mask wearing has come back in all sorts of countries, and some countries never went away. And yet, it's piecemeal. So you have to wear a mask in a shop, but you're okay not to wear one in a bar. Now, how does that make sense? You have to wear one on public transport, but you don't have to wear one in your own car. Or there are all sorts of enclosed spaces as well where they said you don't have to wear one. And so what's the point of wearing one in the other enclosed spaces? It doesn't really make sense, a lot of this, and you just wonder how knee-jerk we've got.
Yeah, it really is. It's difficult, Adam, because I think it's potentially a case of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You see
yeah.
something which potentially could change the trajectory of dealing with the coronavirus, and you think, okay, we need to know more, but we want to get the information out so that people can prepare for a close to worst case scenario. You run the risk of having egg on your face and people pointing very angry fingers at you if the science then proves that it's only marginally more transmissible and only marginally better able to evade antibody protection. But the other risk is that you keep quiet about it until that science has been done, and we're told it'll take about 2 weeks for the full work to be done in the lab, which gives us a better idea of how much more transmissible and how much more evasive it is. And then you find that this is Armageddon, and then you have very angry fingers pointed at you for having kept this info quiet from the world.
Yeah, I suppose that's the nature of it, isn't it? And,
yeah.
and because nobody really knows what they're doing for sure, and you kind of wonder, did we not have lessons in history? Did we not have any of those? That it does seem that it's all sort of bit by bit and country by country, and it's not like there's any kind of united response. Even the European Union doesn't actually sort itself out on this. It's all sort of individual countries doing individual things. With open borders, etc. It's I get it that you know there's a sort of better safe than sorry, except for those businesses that are going to go under as a result of this. If they don't get their Christmas bounce, they're in big trouble. A lot of businesses, I mean.
Indeed. Tell us about the aircraft stowaway.
Now, this has happened before, hasn't it?
Yep.
And indeed, I think in the United States alone, something like 130 have attempted to stow away mainly in the undercarriage of passenger planes in the last 50, 60 years, something like that. So it's not doesn't happen that often. And to be honest, people nearly always die. But, of course, famously, there was that guy called Justin who arrived in London after an 11-hour flight from Johannesburg in the wheel well. His mate died, but he survived. And it's an extraordinary, I think they're making a film of this, actually. It's an extraordinary thing. Now we have somebody not quite 11 hours from Joburg, but 2.5 to 3 hours, certainly, arriving from Guatemala in Miami. Now, there's been quite a surge of migrants, asylum seekers, refugees, etc., heading towards the United States from Guatemala. It has crippling poverty and all sorts of issues. And this guy, I guess, was that desperate that he would pack himself away in the wheel well in jeans and a T-shirt. You've got to think, wow, you do know you're going up there and how cold it'll get. And he has survived. He was on the tarmac looking a bit dazed and confused, frankly, although it does seem odd somehow that the first thing that happens is they climb out of the wheel well and get discovered. I don't quite care why they risked life and limb. But he made it. He's made it to Miami and is now being, in inverted commas, dealt with by U.S. immigration officials.
I'm not sure that I will be able to go any time soon to wander down the avenue of the Sphinxes, but it sounds like something that might be fantastic to do, Adam.
Oh, wow, and what an opening ceremony they had for this thing. It's extraordinary in Luxor in Egypt. Just the name of it sounds fantastic, doesn't it? The Avenue of the Sphinxes. They had chariots, sort of pharaonic chariots, and hundreds of performers, fireworks, you name it, as a lavish ceremony. Basically, this is 3,000 years old. It's taken them several decades. I mean, I think we're talking 30, 40 years to excavate this particular walkway. It's nearly 3 kilometers long. It is impressive as anything. It connects two of the great temples of Luxor, and it is absolutely seen as a way of, you know, with all the hieroglyphics and the music and everything else that will surround it at most times, is seen as a way of getting Egypt back on the tourist map, apart from the fact they might just want to have a look over their shoulder at the Omicron COVID variant and then wonder, is anyone coming to Egypt? Is anyone going anywhere? We're in that kind of state again, aren't we?
Sadly, we are. Adam Gilchrist will be back tomorrow morning with another Worldview.